A very good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome to Eager FM. And David, thank you very much for handing over the mic on this to this side of the world. Very good morning to you, Namibia. Welcome to Eagle FM, your number one talk radio station. It's a Wednesday morning, the 11th of February, and the year is 2026. So my name is Mike Oshavedi, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of economic news, business news, and political news. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment do not necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying, spark the meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. All right, so welcome. Today I would like quickly to get to my guest, because he will have something to do later on. I will just quickly, get to him, and then we have an interview that is coming up, and then later on, get to other things that we do. So, well, just hold on for a few seconds. I'm just getting to my guest quickly. So stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha wutekiro kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyawo ota ingongo tisamwene. Anage shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandi thoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yo mo programa zetu. Moambo dengira selma konarahi tatu imu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
So a very good morning to you, Namibia, and welcome back to Unpacking the Day. Today we're talking about the mindset behind our economic decisions. We often hear about deals and investments, but we rarely talk about the courage and the philosophy of the people actually making those calls. When it comes to guarding Namibia's wealth, is audacity our most valuable resource? Now, to unpack this, we are joined by a voice many of you know well, an economist, Mr. Kanjengo Kankwanyoka. Welcome back to the show, sir. Good morning. Oh, man. I just lost him.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna I matina omjo. Chikawa shafa sana nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayaguro ni randita uma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yu mungu programa letu. Moambo dengira selma onaraje tatu imu. Datu ndatu heari jamano tano o niyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, let's see if we are back with Kanjengo Kangwanyoka. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Osavelli. Thank you for having me.
All right. So, yeah, let's jump right in. You've written that our economic future, it doesn't depend on foreign money, but on the mindset and the audacity of our leaders. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, if you look at the prevailing, I don't want to say theoretical model, but just the understanding or the perception that exists when it comes to economic building, economic development within the African context.
Yeah.
It's being mostly led by the fact that we need foreign capital to come and develop our economy.
Mm-hmm.
When you choose UNAM, you get credible
accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right. So, welcome back. Yeah, you were just saying, I was just asking you, what do you mean by mindset and audacity of our leaders? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was saying, that if you observe and you listen to every speech being given by our leaders, everybody is referring to we need investment.
Yeah.
But the most, the type of investment that everybody talk about is always the foreign capital.
Yeah.
Now, if you just slow down a bit, if you are talking about development and you actually growing your economy in a way that so people want, but at the center of that equation, you are asking somebody else to come and put in the money.
Yeah.
Just slow down a bit. You are building your own house. You are trying to employ your people in your house and everything. But at the center of that house, you are literally saying that another man, someone must come and invest in that house that you are building.
Yeah, in your own house.
Now,
yeah.
In your own house. You're saying, no, all my plans depends on your expertise and what you have for me to be able to feed my kids to eat 3 meals or 4 meals a day. Now, when I'm going to come, I'm going to give you conditions.
Yeah.
I'm going to set up settings and systems that actually protect my energy and my interest in your house.
Yeah.
And whatever rules that you have about your kids eating 3 meals a day and things like that, they do not really concern me if I'm not going to get the maximum out of my effort that I'm going to put in your house. So now, if that is the mentality that you have and you look at the context of everything, then will you develop your house using another man's energy and another man's effort? And if that is the African context, that if we are going to develop our economy, if we are going to build, if we are going to empower people, then at the center of everything is actually utilizing other people's money.
Yeah.
I think the mindset is already wrong from that. Listen, so that is where now my starting point is, and this is from the observation I've been making, that at every conference, at every setting that we sit, we are just begging other people to bring their capital to develop our economy.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody's actually talking differently to say, okay, uranium, the price of uranium, it has been doing very well. We call it windfall. It's now above 70, or it's now around 80, $80. So how about every time it hits $80, we institute or we put a windfall tax on it, and we use that money to invest in our agriculture sector. Or how about that every time the price of copper, the price of gold, like now gold is doing super great. How about we take a portion of that, or we institute a windfall tax as gold keeps going up, and we use that money to invest in the strategic sector we want investment in. So that is thinking is not emanating from anywhere. And that is why I'm saying that the type of mindset that we have toward economic building is actually the main determinant of how far we will go. Because if our mindset is not changing of how do we do this without involving and begging other people, and when they come with their own motive and their own interest and their own condition.
So when you say
the biggest question.
Yeah, when you're saying mindset, are you suggesting that we have been approaching these deals, these foreign investors, with a wrong attitude, with a wrong mindset?
Definitely, because look, it all comes down to if we look at what we are demanding, we look at what our people need, if we look at everybody saying that, okay, if we are going to invest in Namibia, we want 25% of equity without paying anything. Then when some guy with audacity from anywhere say, no, it's my capital, I'm not going to give you that. You're going to chase foreign investment. Then all of us then we start shrinking down and say, oh, we are very sorry, we are going to remove that provision. Then it means the mindset and the audacity does not exist within us. Because I'll give you another example. For how many years have we been trying to implement the Investment Promotion Act? It's probably going to be now more than 10 years. Do you know why we are not doing it? Because we do not have the audacity to do what we want. And I'm repeating this again. What do we want? The best interest for us. It has nothing to do with, the investors will not come. And I'm repeating this again. Colleagues, investors don't come because your policies are good. Investors come because they want something that you have. It has nothing to do with your policies. And I'm sorry, I'm being very, 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 very bland on this. Investors are not going to come because your policies are beautiful. China is a socialist country. Look at how many American companies are in China. Just look at how many of them are in China. China is one of the craziest countries about their self-interest. But look at their economy. Look at their investment. Look at their technology. Look at the biggest companies they have built. So my point is, we are being lied to. The fact that, no, change your policy left and right. Take the bare minimum. Because of the mindset that we have toward economic building. We are using models that do not suit our interest, that do not maximize what we get out of our resources. Because of that mindset, the investor will not come. Because that equation, that there is a direct correlation between your policy that you have on the ground and the investor and the foreign capital. And I want to debunk this. That in terms of returns, in terms of yield from my investment, as long as my money is growing, as long as I'm getting whatever I'm supposed to get, I will come.
Yeah. So what do you think is the biggest mistake our leaders now make when it comes to negotiating with foreign investors? What is the biggest mistake do they make?
We have a lot of educated people at the table.
Yeah.
That is one of the first mistakes. We have a lot of educated people at the table. What do I mean? If you look at all our educated people, where do they get educated on?
Yeah.
Which university they study? Which books they read? And if you go back in our education system, can you ever find a module or a course or a subject that teach you about patriotism, about putting Namibia first, about Pan-Africanism, something like that, in our whole education system?
Yeah.
So literally, in our whole education system, there is nothing that says, put your country first. Nothing.
Yeah.
Actually, none of them are talking about Namibia. So then, you go through an education system that does not put your interest first. You go and study at the institution that does not talk about you.
Mm.
You go and study economic models that talk nothing about you, that are actually grounded on the model of you building your resources.
Yeah.
And those are the people that you put at the negotiating table. And almost every economic model that we have is based on foreign capital coming to rescue you.
Mm.
Especially the African model. It's all about the free market. It's all about the give up. It's all about the being open. This is not craziness. It's just that everything that our people are taught is about giving up everything that they have to other people with technology, to other people with capital.
Yeah.
It is never about, can you try to be crazy enough and do these things by yourself?
Yeah.
Yes, it will not take 2 days or 3 days. It will take you a bit of time. You are not running out of time. No, you are not. And remember this, because there is an illusion.
Yeah.
How did we survive before all this? If we were surviving and actually innovating at our own pace, how come now we are being threatened? If you do not receive foreign capital, you are going to die. People are going to go hungry. But today, then, if you go there, we were not receiving any foreign capital.
Yeah.
How did the numbers survive? How did the people survive? How did they learn how to do maere? How did they learn to put a wood in our milk? So there is no illusion created in this education system given to these individuals. And these are the same individuals we put at the table of negotiation. They have been instilled so much fear in them that if you do not, that's why our measurement of economic growth, we measure how much capital is flowing into Namibia.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
if that number goes down, then you are hearing all the usual, Namibia is not receiving any investments. You know, all the threats are coming from left and right. No, it's your policy that you have. That's why capital is no more coming. No, it's not the policies.
Mm.
So you see,
yeah.
When there is such fear surrounding those who are negotiating,
yeah.
And they are not thinking that I survived on Jalai Okapuka without any foreign direct investment. How did my ancestor get here? Is it because I used to work in copper or not? So the freedom to think beyond such a limitation of your economic model that you learn at whatever university you went to is what actually our own mistake.
Yeah.
That's why now when you go to the table of negotiation in our thinking, we are reasoning using those education system and understanding, and that's why we are getting back in that deal. That's why we're going to implement a policy that talk about your interest, that you put yourself first.
Yeah.
Because the limitation in the surrounding and your mind is that is controlled by that small education that we got. That is one of the first mistakes. And the second one is that
But Kanjengo, surely we need foreign investment to create, let's say, to create jobs and build our industries. How do we then balance the need of foreign investment with the need to develop our own industries and create jobs locally?
Look, and this is is where we get it wrong. Whenever somebody always contradicts the existing literature or the perception that it's only foreign capital. If you go on the Bank of Namibia measurements of capital, there is no domestic immobilized capital measurement.
Mm.
We are only talking about what came in. Why don't we measure what emanated from inside then?
Yeah, okay.
If the domestic capital is not strong enough, can I tell you something?
Mm.
GFTS told us that 52% of their capital is invested locally. Why are we not celebrating it? Why is that not a measuring stick? Why, when foreign capital is not coming, we are screaming?
Yeah.
But when JP is telling us that, they have actually committed around 8 billion to 9 billion, but only 4 billion is invested. Nobody is saying anything. So then for you to come to me to tell me we need foreign capital, when we have around 5 billion lying idle, committed by GIPF for the past 5 years, but it's not invested, but nobody is talking about it, then I'm a bit puzzled. Then don't you need capital? Or is GIPF capital not good enough for you to invest in the industry and create the job you want?
Mm.
Is it only foreign capital that is more beautiful or that can create jobs?
Yeah.
Now, then I'm not going to come. If you're going to change the policies, then change the policies so that GIPF capital can go to the sectors that you want it to go.
Mm.
I'm going to be with you because there is local and domestic capital available.
There is a quick commercial coming up and we'll be back just in a few seconds.
Great news. Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA. The world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, the other thing is that there's always this this concern. Namibia has a wealth of natural resources, but often it feels like the benefit don't trickle down to ordinary Namibians. What really needs to change, you know, so that our, because we all, when you look at the report, the economic growth and all that, you know, you see everywhere you see a growth, but you know, that growth, the benefit of that growth doesn't trickle down to ordinary Namibian. What actually needs to change?
And this is where I suppose actually to speak honestly.
Yeah.
So really, you cannot want to get a piece of meat from the cattle that I've raised.
Yeah.
How is this on the envelope of the Mongo Benda? I want us to use that example because you cannot tell us that you want a piece of uranium when you've not invested any single thing on it. That is where to understand the practical thing.
Yeah.
All the resources that you have, you gain a license to a Chinese investor, to a Canadian investor, to a Russian investor, who owns probably 90% of it in terms of equity.
Yeah.
So meaning the first dividend which is going to be paid out of that equity investment in that mine, it is his. It is a return on capital.
Hmm.
And I want us to understand that analogy, and it's not a perception. I put my $1 billion on that particular mine, and in terms of economic equation and accounting equation, the asset is mine. And when the asset is mine, I have total interest on it. Every income that I do that is just to be driven from that asset when it's generated, it belongs to me.
Yeah.
So then how do you say why it's not trickling down? It doesn't trickle down because you do not own anything.
Yeah.
You gave the ownership to somebody. Then you have some laws now in terms of taxation that, okay, if you make some profit, please pay a certain percentage. But do you know what? If you go historical, the Iranian mines are shipping uranium to France, to Canada, to China. But if you go in the mining review, they will tell you that they don't make profit.
Yeah.
And you as a country are supposed to get your benefit from where? Through profit? Through corporate profit. That's when they pay the taxes, apart from the employees.
Yeah.
So when you ask that question, that is where you're supposed to be very specific. You have mines shipping uranium. Then they will tell you they have not made the profit. Then you know, okay, cool. And how do we get it paid as a country? Through corporate tax. But if they do not make a profit, how do they pay? Nothing. So that equation, who owns the asset? Who invested in the asset is quite key if we wanted to derive more value. And that is the danger and the beauty of foreign capital. Being invested in a strategic asset that can derive you more money. So the audacity that I have is that if you are able to lose 60 million, 10 million to buy reflectors for donkeys,
yeah.
Why don't you take it to 10 million and develop the money out of it? See, the audacity. We have audacity to spend more money on social things,
yeah.
But we do not have the courage to develop the mind if we want more out of it. We invite other people, but my G, you are wasting money to invest in an infrastructure like a railway to a stronger, but you cannot use it.
Yeah.
You spend how many millions?
So now.
So you see.
Okay, just finish your point. Lend your point. Yeah.
So that is the point what I mean. The economic audacity, that is where it's not. We are able to make noise to put money on social politics and social investment. But when it comes to investing in strategic assets that where we can generate more money,
yeah,
we call other people to come and put it in.
Yeah. Now,
just put the money together that you put in the bank reflected, 10 million or whatever, how many million. But the machine that I just need, probably actually to polish a diamond, it can be around also 11 million. Now, compare the audacity that you have there.
So, so let's talk about this recent development that has everyone talking. You know, the president decision to personally oversee the oil and gas sector. So some might see this as just an administrative reshuffle. You seem to suggest it might signal a deep issue, perhaps a loss of trust. You know, what makes you think that?
Yeah, man. And actually, we are not exploring that angle.
Yeah.
Because, guys, it literally says the president that started trust the whole Department of Petroleum. I do not know. From my understanding, like, there is no other explanation. Because how do you move the department to be under your oversight? What are you saying? You are saying that I do not trust these people to represent my county interest.
Yeah.
Okay, let me tell you a different reason. He said, look, because Madam President has been in government for a year. So she's not new to this system.
Yeah.
And to me, the conclusion I can make is that she cannot trust, and I'm saying this loud and clear, she cannot trust the top management or the ministry to represent the interests of the country. And such, there is it. And in the system that I'm in place. That is literally saying, I don't care how we are sugarcoating it. No. Because how do you just, you are from government, you understand the system, you are actually part of the system because it's been there since the 90s.
Exactly.
They literally, this is one of the aspects of the system.
Yeah.
So then what other explanation we should do that? So, and again, I have colleagues, for me, it's not about administrative matters. For me, it's about the type of decision that we are doing. The audacity to do crazy things. We are still fixated on just oversight. why don't you give, why does she give Evangelo Mine 1 billion to develop a mine?
Hmm.
You see, we have so many misplaced energy and audacity. The audacity to give Evangelo Mine 1 billion to develop a mine, so that everything that comes out of this mine, it belongs to Namibia.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to provide oversight to Total Energy, Total Energy will tell you, dude, I'm going to put in 10 billion. And they cannot tell me what to do.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a risk in your ocean where there's no electricity. And you want me to give you 10% for free? No way. You see? Your limitation or how much oversight or administration you want to provide, it will never be capital. We can lie to ourselves, we can control all the department that we want.
Yeah.
But if the capital is not yours, there is limitations on what you say and at which table you sit. Because the board of directors sits. The board of directors sits. And on top of the board of directors, their interest is to maximize the return of shareholders.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not a shareholder, your interest becomes second. Even if you are a country, your interest becomes second. Because you are not a shareholder.
Yeah.
You are an external stakeholder. There is a difference between a stakeholder and a shareholder.
Yeah, definitely.
And the government is a stakeholder, not a shareholder, unless they put the capital into that. So meaning at the table of decision-making of the oil company, is the shareholders who sit. And if a government is not a shareholder, do not put the capital on it.
Yeah.
Whatever decision is going to be made there is in the interest of who? The shareholder.
The shareholder, yeah. Mm. So, overall, how do you feel about the current leadership approach to resource management? Are we doing enough to tap into our full potential?
Yeah. I don't want you to use the word feel because they'll say I'm in my emotions.
Yeah.
No, there is nothing that we have done in terms of resources management. And I do not want us to manage resources, really. Yes, we can manage in terms of sustainability.
Hmm.
But perhaps we have now understood that we are not getting enough from our resources, right?
Yeah.
And I hope they have also an answer. The main reason you're not getting enough is because you are not in ownership. You are in custodianship. You are in custodianship. You protect, you provide the political stability and safety. But you're not in ownership. When we are distributing the returns and the revenue, we look at the owners. You are not the owner. You are just a custodian.
Yeah.
And until within the structure of government that come out clear, that we need to own, we need equity, we need the shareholder in everything, not just custodianship.
Mm.
That is what needs to be seen within the current leadership. They can shuffle and provide all oversight as they want. That is just custodianship. That is it. Unless they change the laws when it comes to taxation, when it comes to paying royalties, although when it comes to social investment, you know, all those things to make sure your collection from those who own your resources or you gave your resources are paid their due.
Yeah.
But until you strengthen or you find a better mechanism that if you are shipping uranium to China, we don't care whether you made the profit or not. You have to pay.
Mm.
Otherwise, how did the uranium get to China? How? You're not selling.
Yeah.
You're not selling. Like, we need to change the whole model of actually taxing uranium sector. Because there is a moment where the prices are apparently they are not good enough. And if the prices are not good enough, why are you shipping? Huh?
Yeah.
Why are you shipping? Then if the prices are not good enough, you are also not going to ship any pound of uranium out of Namibia.
Yeah. So that's now... there is this tension of urgent need for development and job today, and also long-term goal of owning and controlling our resources. How do we balance this urgent need of development and jobs today with that long-term goal of owning and controlling our resources?
There is no urgent need of development. I'm challenging anybody to call somebody to call on your show and tell us what are those agents need of development? What is it? Do they even know what is it? What are those agents need of development?
Yeah.
Colleagues, we cannot exchange the resources for employment. That is just a damned economic model. That is, there's a word like that. You cannot be dishing out your resources left and right because you want to create employment. That is going to be a very bad model.
Yeah.
Not everyone is going to come and promise you, I'm going to create 20,000 jobs. And you're like, yay. Then you give them free land, give them everything.
Yeah.
Then we go to the numbers, we calculate. What do they gain? Employment is not a gain. I keep saying this.
Yeah.
Employment is an exchange between an employer and a skilled person. Also, really, I invested in myself in the past 4 years to get a degree. I probably spent $200,000.
Yeah.
And you are saying that just because I got an employment benefit, no, dude, I invested in myself to be commercial viable.
Yeah.
So we needed to stop this model that we need to get the capital so they can create employment. Capital should come and create value.
Yeah.
For your people. And value in many, many, many ways. Value in many, many, many ways.
Mm.
Because investment income, it transforms. It does not bring development, no, it transforms positively the surrounding. And if the investment that you are getting is not transforming, it's only creating jobs, then your model is wrong.
Yeah.
There is, and again, I repeat, there is no urgent need for development. You turning villages and grazing land and arable land into town is not development.
Mm-hmm.
You're taking away my grazing land to give it to a factory which is going to cost something, it's not a development. You are literally just disempowering me to depend on the wage.
Yeah. Some guys used to say you're actually manufacturing poverty.
So we need to remove the point of employment. It's emotional blackmailing poor Namibians to give up their resources and their land for prolonged and long-term poverty and dependence.
Yeah.
We should call for capital, domestic and foreign, that actually creates value. And value, we can spend time explaining that. What is that value that we need to create so that we can evaluate and assess every investment proposal which is coming here?
Yeah. So the other thing is also the global economic landscape, which has become more competitive than ever. So what advice do you have for Namibia in navigating this jungle? Because you call it a jungle anyway. So how do we navigate this jungle?
I'll be crazy enough and say avoid it. don't listen to the outside noise. But the fact that you depend on age, the fact that you need other people's capital, that is where the problem is. But if we can just reduce our dependency on all external assistance, we can actually ignore it.
Yeah.
Whatever Trump say, whatever the Europeans say, we can actually ignore it. And we focus on ourselves. You focus on yourself. We are never focused on ourselves. Listen to the speech that is given everywhere. Nobody's focusing on ourselves.
Yeah.
Everyone knows the geopolitics, the European, the Trump. Ignore him. Just make sure you don't sit at the table with him. Because when Trump is going to come, he's talking about American interests. Do you know the audacity of this guy?
Yeah.
He's saying that they are in line with our interests. How do you go to negotiate at the table with that? Yeah, we're only negotiating if you are supporting the American interest. That is an insult. And African leaders are not seeing this.
Yeah.
Everyone is talking about their interest, but Africa and Namibia is talking about their interest.
So the things that we hate Trump about is actually putting America first, which is something that our leaders are not doing. Yeah.
Now they are concerned about them. No, I'm just putting the interest. Put yours first.
Yeah.
Ignore his demand. Ignore his agora. Please.
Can we afford to ignore that anyway? That's the issue as well.
We can, bro.
Yeah.
Look, the market in Africa is untapped.
Yeah.
If you go in DRC, the demand for our fish. If you go to Tunisia, the demand for other products that we produce. If you go in Zambia, the demand. And you know one thing that nobody says.
Yeah.
The companies that are demanding you to open up, who own them?
Yeah.
None of you own anything.
Yeah.
None of you own anything. So, look, we need to create a balance. You do not have to speak with my tone or my energy.
Yeah.
But I think at a certain point, focus on yourself. Africa, focus on yourself, man.
All right.
You are so much concerned about others, too much, and not developing a relationship with Zambia. Not developing a relationship and commercial relationship with Kenya. Very serious.
For us now, for everyday Namibian listening, you know, what is one thing that we should be watching for, that something that we should be watching for to know if our leaders are really getting it right? So what is that we need to watch it for to be able now to say, well, they are getting it right?
If you look at one of the main things you can look at the law that they are changing.
Yeah.
Go read the Petroleum Act and the amendments that they are making. And they come and tell me, oh my goodness, this is good. It's all about who is going to control and administrate it, but not ownership. Not ownership. So the main thing that you have to look at the laws that are being changed. Is anybody changing the law? Is anybody challenging the banking laws, the interest, the monetary policy, the SACO arrangement? Is anybody challenging that?
Yeah.
Is anybody challenging how we give EPL and whom we give them and the ownership? If nobody is changing such a provision in any particular act, then they are not for the interest of the country. The interest of the country is not nice making and political statements.
Yeah.
No, if nobody is changing the law to empower, to ensure Namibia have equity, ownership.
Yeah.
Not just by name, by enabling. If I can go and borrow 10 million from development banks, I can buy equity. And if I'm not supported in that, then my leaders are not supporting me. No, so it's all about what laws are they changing. They are just very busy talking about marriage acts. Everything because it's not important. You are spending 2 years in the world and just thinking about, man, why are people,
I know that you have a meeting to attend to. Finally, Kanjengo, on a personal level, what give you the audacity to believe that Namibia can truly change its economic destiny?
Very beautiful question. I think, the communal structure where we come from, it gave us ownership. We were in charge of the land and the water and the grass.
Yeah.
But now when you are driving to Windhoek, if you get out of the road, you can only be closer to the road. You cannot cross anything. You are going to be shot.
Three meters away from the road is not that it doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to the public anymore. Yeah.
You are going to be shot. Now I'm in a movie and I'm proud. But where we came from, the village, the communal structure and the setting gave us ownership. I was free to roam around.
Yeah.
But now I'm not. I rent somewhere there in Katutra. And pay everything. And we told the EPL are given, the ocean is given, investors are coming. I don't see them. So it's all about that. I'm all about equity.
Mm.
I'm all about empowering ourselves, not giving free things. No, just enabling the African child or the black child to be able to assist and to utilize this resource at the maximum like everybody is.
Yeah.
And changing those models to work for me. It's not about removing things and saying capitalism is bad. No.
Yeah.
I just want the model to work for me and my African brothers and sisters. Otherwise, nah.
Yeah. Well, anyway, anything else that maybe you want to just your last message that you probably based on what we discussed that you would like to say in the end?
Yeah. Your degree and your PhD does not make you educated.
Mm.
No. You actually do not understand the African things if you are educated to that level. Everything you've been taught has nothing to do with our economy. And I challenge you, they can come and tell you, what did you study? How many of those books talk about the Namibian structure? How many of them for you to say you are educated to represent us? So, the education that we're supposed to use is where we came from.
Mm.
Home, the village, because it taught us about us, ourselves, and our interests.
Yeah.
And if we can actually reflect on that, we will be able to balance so that whenever you are negotiating, do not only use your degree in economics, but use your degree on understanding Namibian structure, Namibian needs.
Yeah.
All right, sir.
All right. Kanjonga Kwanyoka, we appreciate your time and, of course, your wisdom. And we hope that this conversation continue to inspire change for a prosperous Namibia. And thank you for joining us on our Packing the Day.
All right, sir. Thank you.
All right, good.
All right, that's our in-house economist, Kanjengo Kankwanyoka, helping to understand us the audacity of our leaders in making sure, in leading us in terms of negotiating for foreign investment. So our telephone number, if you would like to react, that is 081-0833-66091.
Our first caller, good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. We lost that one. So please do come back. Our time is about 55 minutes past the hour of 8. And so if you would like to react or to have, I mean, of course, to have your contribution on just what we're talking about. So please do come through. Our telephone number is 083-66091. And we're coming to you live from Ondangwa Studio, 083-66091. So, all right. So, let's get to the caller again. Good morning and welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Is that Mike?
Good morning, Mr. Mantum. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you, man?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me applaud the Kanjengo Kankwanyoka what he was saying, because this is what we talk every day, patriotism when it comes to Namibia.
Yeah.
Namibia first. But we don't do that.
Mm.
I think we even spoke yesterday.
Yeah. I wanted to follow up on things that we were talking with him. He has an article in day before yesterday, I think, edition of The Villager. So that really fit into what we were talking about. And I just wanted him to bring out that light, those issues to light. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, which is true indeed. And I write a lot of things.
Yeah.
Which is really affecting Africa. And mostly Namibia, I think we don't have so many people like Sangwasa and the Nekondish.
Yeah.
Yeah, of Namibia. That's why last time I make a joke, like, I don't know if it was with your program or France or it was Helmut.
Mm.
I said, no, you need the, you know, the people who need it, they need more protection, even the president. Sangwasa and the Nekondish.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? I like to follow African news and so on.
Yeah.
You know what happened to between America and those East countries like Mali, Burkina Faso, name it, Niger.
Yeah.
They are, like this week, they are sending their convoy to come and negotiate. We're in Mali.
Yeah.
Bamako or something, they capture.
Yeah, no, it's Bamako. I've been yeah. in that place, yeah.
Oh, really? Yeah, you know why?
Yeah, I know Bamako, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, you know why they are able to negotiate? It's because
yeah.
what they did, they reiterate to what Trump did.
Mm.
They said they are, what, as I said, they get what, sanction.
Yeah, yeah.
They also just reiterated that no more what USA company operating in our country.
Yeah.
They must this. If you are a citizen that they need to have what, 100 something or 40 something or to travel to America.
Yeah.
They must do the Americans also do the same. And they were like, yes, this is what is needed. Because remember at that time.
And that's what Kanjengo was exactly saying, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Spider to spider, my friend.
Mm.
There's no more this joke. Because these guys, they need us. That's why they realize, no, we are making a blunt.
Yeah.
Let us send our diplomatic to go and negotiate with these countries. And you remember the South African ambassador was expelled from America.
Mm, yeah.
Oh, it's America.
It's America, yeah. So he was given
they're supposed to do the same.
Mm.
They're supposed to do the same. No, they wait and wait. I mean, they never do anything. And now we have a scenario in Namibia where some people just start complaining. Like maybe, you know, this pretty case that can happen globally and so on.
Yeah. In some sense, this is exactly...
We are something that, you know, the tourism, they have to be protected. Just imagine a policeman guarding the restaurant. Come on. Where did you see this? We are coming up with something like that because just to suit them to come.
Yeah.
Do you think if this guy, if we didn't put up anything like that, they will not come? Don't they have to come? We have a nice landscape.
Hmm. I always see that there's two level of looking at this. So, say for example, we have farmers that actually sell meat to America, for example. Okay. And then we have politician who can decide to say, look, okay, if you are doing this to us, we'll do the same. Yeah. But what we do politically would actually affect your farmer. You know, will affect your mitko. You understand?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and in some way, that would affect your bread and butter on the ground.
No. It never been like that because remember one thing,
No, in some way it would. Like, it would.
Mike, no. Yeah. Mm. There always a market opening up somewhere.
When
when they cross their door,
Russia
is opening up. When Russia is closed, Chinese is opening up. Yeah. There must be just somewhere, even though we need American dollars.
Yeah, no, I understand with you. That I agree. Yeah. I agree.
We have to stand our ground.
Yeah.
Because once we start getting a reunion to these people, they know there is no our weak point.
Mm.
And the way our weak point is all about money, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look how we have to come up with a thing to creating what? And a general commission for what? For tourism.
Yeah.
It need to be led by the lady Fonseca. But, my friend, even you go to UK, crime can happen. But I will not label that, no, England is not safe.
Mm.
Because of just something happened. And now the England have to come up with a method to sweep Namibia people. How many we lost even in UK and Canada? Namibian?
Yeah.
Hey, did we complain that no, don't go to Canada because it's not safer?
Yeah.
Sometimes we need to stand our ground.
Yeah, no. I definitely agree. Yeah, and that's the mindset, and that's the mindset that we're talking about. He also talked about the hunger mindset.
Hunger mindset.
Yeah.
And the problem we are prisoning ourselves. Now our mind it become a prison.
Yeah.
To ourselves, because we fought those guys. We cannot go anywhere. But how did our forefathers been living in Namibia?
Mm.
How they preserve all this wildlife? What we tend to what? Trophy hunting now. And if you find a black man, he say what? He say, what do God these guys are know? Like, this one who are doing what? Hunting, This one who are hunting for what? A
for,
poacher.
For it's sport? Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a poacher.
Mm.
You see, this is a thing which you need to talk about. And then now, our mindset is really, need to update.
Hmm. Are we not maybe just hit by the reality of where we are today? You know, the modern world where we are, you know, the protectionism, the fragmentations that's happening. So shouldn't we maybe adapt to where we are? I mean, to the modern way of doing business.
Hmm. Let us adapt to our condition, because now you remember Kanjeng was saying, no, what we do,
yeah,
even when we are studying, we say we are having a PhD degree, we are studying the other people, history and their books.
Yeah.
But if you look, a person who is having a PhD degree, what did they create in Namibia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, let's hear what others have to say. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
Sure.
A very good morning to you. Our time is about 4 minutes past the hour of 9, and this is Unpacking the Day. So what are you saying? What do you say? What is your take on our discussion earlier, or your reaction overall your reaction on the issue of foreign investors looking at that, specifically looking at, you know, that somehow our mindset, and this is based on what I discussed with Kanjengo, Kanjengo Kangpanyoka, in terms of that we're talking about the mindset behind our economic decisions, you know, and because we often hear about deals and investment, but we rarely talk about the courage and the philosophy of the people making actually those decisions, or making those the mindset of the people that are making those calls. So if you have that hunger mindset, you would definitely just, you know, try to get, you know, a deal. Okay, you would just definitely try to get whatever you can get to meet your immediate need, and then, you know, sacrifice your long term goals and future and prosperity. So, yeah. What is your take? What is your take on what we have discussed so far? So, 08333-66091. 08333-66091.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. Our time, it's about 8 minutes past the hour of nine, and we come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. Yes, when it comes to guarding Namibia's wealth, is audacity our most valuable resource? So that's the question. Are we resilient enough? Are we, strong enough to stand our ground? As I was speaking to Kanjengo Kankwanyoka on that. So you're most welcome. Come through and have your own opinion, your own contribution, overall your own contribution on the matter. So I'm going to look at, there's an interesting, spat between South Africa and DRC at the mining in Durban that actually took place that actually also really fits so well to what we have discussed earlier on. So let's get into that as well. Let's add to this. But you're most welcome to come through. So the interesting thing is that story that unfolded, at the 2026, mining in Durban that is taking place, in Cape Town. So, oh boy, everything is very, in Africa, everything is, it's possible. And this is a spicy one. South Africa and Democratic Republic of Congo are in a spotlight for public spat, over a deal involving critical minerals and the United States. So let's break that down and unpack what really at stake here. And try to make sense of the tensions between now, because here the tension here is between the national interest, your national interest for your country, and the continental unity, which is actual challenge for Africa. So I want you to picture this, the mining in Durban, a huge gathering of Africa top mining leaders and global investors, in a full swing. And in the midst of that, a heated exchange breaks out between now two key ministers, South Africa's Gwende Mantashe and the DRC Lois Wantum Kabamba. Now, what is the issue? The issue there was a deal the DRC signed with the United States last year, giving the U.S. access to the DRC critical mineral in exchange for DRC, in exchange for peace deals, that was actually brokered by none other than, Donald Trump. So, but here's the problem. Now, the ideal, this deal, is not sitting well with Mantashe, okay? The South African minister. So it's not sitting well with Mantashe. So the South African mining minister. So he wasn't questioning the deal itself, but the large implication for Africa as a whole. So that was his concern. Now he accused the DRC of selling out, which actually when he went out and he was questioned by the media, he said, well, that's you are saying it. I didn't say that, so he accused them. They accused him that the DRC of selling out by making this deal with the US. So he emphasized that African nations should act as one when it comes to controlling the continent minerals. I mean, continental, continent wealth, mineral wealth and not just looking out for their own interests. Let's hear from the caller.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Fine, thank you. How are you too?
I'm all right.
Wonderful.
Mm.
Yeah, we are very grateful for Kanzengo there.
Yep, yeah.
It took quite a long time.
Mm.
And his coming is very significant to us.
Yeah.
In terms of education and how to improve issues.
Yeah, and these are people who speak straight as it is, yeah.
Yes, so I'm going to incorporate, I think I have got just 2 points or three.
Okay.
Even though they are overlapping.
Mm.
So the issue that the presentation that we had from the Bank of Namibia governor, the report on the informal economy of last year.
Mm.
And this is just now that he's now talking about, this is to translate those recommendations, all those issues, and all the, even the, from the representative of the informal economy.
Yeah.
We have heard the presentation this morning on how the informal economy is contributing, how much is contributing. And now Kanzengo is talking about 5 billion and things like that with GIPF, and we congratulate them for what they are doing. But I'm not so sure whether there is a really correlation.
Hmm.
That is symbiotic kind of a relationship that within the those who are in the market, financial market or whatever kind of market, especially those in the informal economy.
Mm.
Because we have heard the percentage they are contributing up to 60% there from the informal economy.
Yeah.
And the Kanzengo, so just that we did not interact with David this morning with all his 3% that he brought, but he was focusing on the economic that can benefit the people. So now in this issue, of course, Kanzengo mentioned about the reform. So especially those that are governing the informal economy, whether it's informal agriculture, economy sectors, and we have them a lot. There's no sector that it doesn't have an informal economic wing.
Yeah, no, definitely. Yeah.
Now the tourisms are there, people are driving. Everybody, the agriculture. So now, if that money is there, as we are saying, and I know the policies are challenged, and that is what they are also discussing on that mining in Durban in South Africa, that there should be deliberate effort to amend. And I think this is the reason why the president is so not happy with the what is going on there in the parliament. I don't know whether it's some of these bills, they go through they make it to the national council. They will have to review now and recommend and do all these things. So I still need to find out, because perhaps I haven't been listening to this, the NBC or parliament. But I'm up to date with a serious issue, what is happening in South Africa, whether it's G20 and all this in Dabas. Are we not translating some of these things that if there are laws or policy, because people are always talking about the policy.
Yeah.
And I know the one for bylaw of municipality. I know that one. That's why if you ask those women who are selling in front of Soprite there and all these things, how they have been harassed, going through all these kind of things. And if it's not about, there is always a competition. But we are saying, let it be a perfect competition, not imperfect.
Yeah.
So, but then, if there is money, for example, I understand some are saying they have mobilized some domestic mobilization of resources, up to so amount, a lot of billions, okay? And these are actually for also for domestic consumption.
Yeah.
So if this is for domestic consumption, is it that only the, I don't know whether the registration of a company or whatever still, but the collaboration within those markets, even those are informal markets, whether it's somebody who's selling the fat coke, and I know that we were told here it's very difficult for you to go to the bank and get some kind of, you know, beef up capital. Or
yeah. Unless yes, you become the startup capital, yeah. Mm.
Startup capital. Mm. So that one also.
And actually, that's linking to what Kanjengo was saying. We need the law that actually helping us to get this startup capital, this informal economy, that they have access to capitals so that they actually can grow, even become formal, you know?
Obviously, so there is always a concern that our small, medium enterprise and companies and all these things, we are not growing. And the reason perhaps is so also that we are also disintegrated. We are not working together. People are talking about collaboration. So if we work together, even though we do not have resources, and I'm just saying that, yes, there were those women who were harassed and things like that. Because, you know, sometimes we take up issue also from our hands, and then you say, no, this one is not fair. Now you are taking the tomatoes away, everything, and the woman you are putting her in the kambaba, and it's the pipe, and the people are going, the children are there without any. So, and then they were head. Even our ministry, it came even to be our ministry, and they had. And those things were paid off, you understand? We said, no. So it became my baby. So what we are saying is that, isn't it so good for us now? Knowing that, yes, there is this capital that can be invested here, and there are these laws that are hindering, like the one, the bylaw or whatever. You always see these things people are saying. All those taxis, whatever. And these are people that they can. And most of them are women.
Yeah.
So is it the competition that is feared? Because Katerangema also mentioned about the fear of the unknown. So on the last, my conclusion, on there are really models, the study models and all these things that need to be quickly introduced as the time is moving.
Yeah.
So you move about, especially this entrepreneurship, and these things, project management courses, serious. You can know most of these things, you only do them at the university, at even a master degree level.
Mm.
So now if you don't start with these things here, like in South Africa, they are doing that. Those models and all these things must be compulsory.
Yeah.
So it's good to have business study. I taught that thing. But the model that he really talks about in the entrepreneurship, how they can utilize the resources, the factor of production, the labor, the capital, and all these things in any other area, because poverty is a cross-cutting issue. And every sector, ministry or state or whatever, dealing with that. I think to me, my problem is that the way we organize ourselves, how we mentor, and especially those representatives. There was a representative of this informal economic sector here.
Yeah.
With that Ndaba that we are told. And we are saying the policy interventions are necessary, and also perhaps, I don't know the fear, is it to invest? If you are not a shareholder, but you know this is the venture that has the potential to boost and create employment or whatever opportunity, and you are not a shareholder in that, so maybe the fear will then be subsidized after somebody has got, I know, understand about the skill and things like that. That's why we are proposing that, yes, some of these technical subjects must be introduced in secondary school to be converted in VTC, and people now learn how to produce with those technical and things like that. So right. I think the laws need to be reformed.
Yeah.
That is clear, and the people are not, so, and then people work together as well with the foreign investor. So as long as you know that your stake is greater.
All right.
So thank you very much.
Thank you for coming through.
Cool.
08333-66091. So, as always, I was going already to the story that's the spot that's actually happening between South Africa, just to to look at some issues that Kanjengo was talking and how we actually dealing with that in Africa on African level. And so I left where I was talking about, where the minister of mine, you know, Mr. Mantashe from South Africa, you know, accused the DRC of selling out, you know, by making the deal with the US. So, and he emphasized that African nation should act as one when it comes to controlling the continent's mineral wealth, not just looking out, you know, on looking out for your own interests. And I think we need to pause here, because when we're looking at national interest versus continental unity, that's a big, how would I say it? That's a big problem when it comes to Africa. Shouldn't be, but it is a big problem. And probably let's get into it a little bit. Okay. So why is Mantashe so upset? Well, not be upset like, you know, he's, you know, when you see him on his face, he's like, hey, why you are doing this and things? No, it's just, you know, it's just upset how we doing business. So it all comes down to the tension. There's a tension between national interest and continental unity. So there is this tension between, you know, what a country do for their own interest, and sometimes that goes against with continental unity. You know, you look after yourself first before you think of the continental unity. So now the DRC, a country that is really rich in critical minerals like cobalt, copper, and lithium, and understandably looking for ways to secure the best deal for itself. So now, after all, it's a tough world that we live in, you know, it's a tough world out there. And the US also facing a shortage of this mineral for its electric vehicles and technology industries. So there's that eager to secure those supplies, you know, from the DRC. And the DRC is sitting, literally sitting on the gold mine of these minerals. Now, the DRC logic is that they are looking after their own people first. Okay? Namibia first. That's what Kanjengo was talking about. Namibia first, America first. Well, it's becoming more like, okay, maybe we're learning from America. Now, so of course, in this case, DRC is looking after their own people first. They are trying to get the best possible deal in a tough world, as we know, and they have point. I think in some way they have a point. A government's first duty is actually its own citizen. You know, that's the government's first duty. It's their own citizens. So, but Mantashe argument is about more than just one country's deal with a foreign power. All right. It's about Africa as a whole and how individual nation can get caught up in what is called, you know, divide and conquer, divide and conquer tactic by the outside power. So, and of course, South Africa know this very well, being on the other side of the law or on the other side of this kind of tactics. So, and South Africa has been calling for greater unity in managing African resources, warning that without a collective approach, Africa countries risk getting, you know, pitted against each other, you know, in a race to the bottom when it comes to striking deals with powerful foreign investors. So that we're talking about here. So now let's ask this critical question. Okay, let's ask this critical question for you now to discuss and think about. Now, South Africa, you know, not South Africa. Should, maybe let me put it this way. Should Africa country put their own national interest aside, Now, given what we're looking at between, you know, South Africa and DRC, should African country put their own national interests aside for the sake of continental unity? Or is it right for a nation, is it right for nations like the DRC, you know, to look out for their own economic survival, especially when the global competition for resources is so fierce, really? So is it right? So it's, I don't think there's an there's a simple answer to that, okay? Because, you know, if we look, if we take DRC defense, okay, on one hand, you know, the DRC minister Kambamba wasn't backing down when it came into, you know, to this issue, so they were not backing it down. In fact, he defended the deal, saying it wasn't a one-way kind of street. So he said, well, it was not just that the DRC was getting taken advantage of. Eh? So, yeah, according to Kambamba, so the DRC was diversifying. And this is what every developing country is trying to do. So they were diversifying it's their partners, you know, they were diversifying their partners and not allowing one country like China to dominate its resources market. So he also pointed out that the peace deal, well, though that peace deal is very fragile, was an important element of the agreement, yeah? Helping now to address ongoing tension with Rwanda. So it wasn't just about the resources, but also, you know, now you can see that, you see the dilemma for the DRC here. It's not just about the minerals. It's about securing peace, stability, and international support, you know, in a region where conflict have been really
imba ya rire ombwa nai etepa weda ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no mafa ko murungu wa indu wari rongere kusha omune ondengu okura ko imba una ovyu ne dia peke ko gondola mirongo bitatu na hambu umwe mumwe sto twika ovinki no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yokuyanja oshimariva o presente dano komiede bitatu moshimariva o presente umurongo komiede hambu umwe moshimariva Mariva o presente mirongo ivari na dano pomiedi ya murongo na ivari moshimarisi. Itororera ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanu kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishuhina omarihiro. Imba o maoronga neno owiru haka enina itako na wina rishangita jinon.
So welcome back. All right. So you can see here, as I said, you can see here the dilemma for the DRC. You know, because it's not just about the minerals, as the minister said. So one is securing peace, is securing stability, and also international support, because that region has been really, and Africa didn't do anything. So one can also understand if there is someone else who can be able to strike that peace deal, you know, and which now you're blaming us and you haven't done anything, you know, so, I think that you can see that there is that tension. Now, and the response make it clear. The response make it clear that the deal with the US wasn't just about the minerals, right? It was about strategic partnership, diversifying economy ties, and even securing a modicum of peace, in a region really, that region is plagued by war. So here's another important question, you know, just something come up in my mind. Can a deal like this, you know, which South Africa call it a sellout, you know, actually be a smart move for a country in crisis like DRC? Can that be a smart move for DRC in this instance? So how much should a nation be willing to sacrifice in terms of long-term benefit for a short-term stability? And that's also a question that I discussed with Kanjengo. So are we, you know, should we sacrifice a long-term goal for a short-term gain, you know, when it comes to foreign investors? So, and looking at this in the context of Africa, so where now South Africa said, you're a sellout because, you know, you shouldn't be letting, you know, one superpower, you know, do this to, you know, how much should a nation be willing to sacrifice? So that's, there's no easy answers, really. There's no easy answers. And I think we should look at the bigger picture also. The, you know, Mantashe, concerned and just about the DRC, which is a really, really, really big issue for Africa, but they are about Africa's position in a world where resources are becoming the battleground for global power. So the resources now are becoming the battleground. So when countries go to wars, it's because of those resources. So at the core of this argument, at the core of his argument is this, that, you know, Africa need to act as one when it comes to managing its mineral wealth. So he warned that if countries like DRC make deal independently, Africa could lose the ability to collectively bargain with global power. So opening the door for exploration, exploitations. So, yeah. So we have seen this story before. Also, we have seen this story before. I mean, African nation rich in resources, from oil to gold to cobalt, you know, have often been at the mercy of the foreign power with deeper pocket. So if you have a foreign power that have a deeper pocket and more leverage, you know, so they have really been at the mercy of those who have bigger pocket and more leverage. So maybe the question is, what is the solution? Can Africa create a unified approach, you know, to manage its, you know, to manage its critical resources without stifling individual nation economic growth? I tell you, if Africa was an open market to African nations, this wouldn't be a problem. Eh? So for now, as I said, we're scrapping for foreign power that have a deeper pocket, you know, then, you know. So that's why we found ourselves in that situation. And the South African minister is actually calling for, calls for mineral sovereignty. You know, mineral sovereignty, a continental wide effort, some kind of like a continental wide effort to defend Africa resources from external exploitation. So his warning is very clear also that without coordination, African countries risk being forced into bad deals by foreign powers. So, and in that process, they could also pit them against each other to drive down prices and profit. So if you're not, you know, well, if you're not dealing with me, so Botswana is offering me a better deal. So, well, go to Botswana. Well, if you're not, you know, South Africa is offering me a better deal. So we are being pitted against each other to drive down the prices and actually profit. And now in this issue between DRC and South Africa, I think US factor, there's also an issue there. So let's not forget the US angle here as well. There's a US angle as well. So the US has been ramping up its competition, you know, with China and other power over the criminal, not criminal, should be criminal minerals. Yeah, it should be criminal minerals, over critical minerals, you know, should be criminal minerals. All right. So countries like the DRC are very crucial to this race. You know, they are very crucial to, and Namibia and Namibia, we are very crucial, you know. Namibia is also very, very crucial to this race between, you know, U.S. and China, the competition with China. So the U.S. want access to those minerals, you know, for its tech, for its clean energy sectors, excuse me, which are actually booming. And which are booming, and I don't know why. This is where now we, this is our opportunity. That's what we were talking about yesterday. This is our opportunity to take advantage of that. So, and how does this competition actually play out for Africa? So is the U.S. really, really a good partner for the DRC in the long run when it comes to that now? Or is this a deal just part of a larger geopolitical strategy? So, or any other deal that we may involve it, are they just part of the larger political geopolitical strategy for China? You can run away from US and go to China, but it's still the same. You're just moving from one to the other, to one superpower to the next. So, but what are you getting out? And Mantashe argues that the U.S. approach could be part of the broader strategy, you know, to weaken Africa's collective bargaining power. So, and he pointed out that the U.S. had given the DRC, now you're looking at that, the reason why they're mad is that, like, look now, the DRC has a special treatment when it comes to tariff. Something South Africa wasn't happy about. They were not about that. So the underlying question is this, you know, is the U.S. helping Africa or is it dividing the continent to get what they want? This is open for discussion. You have your own opinion. You have your own perspective. And actually this brings, you know, this brings, bring the story right home. Right home here in Namibia. It brings the story right home here in Namibia. We are rich in criminal minerals, critical. Okay, I call it now criminal minerals. So we are very rich in critical minerals. So we have lithium, we have uranium, we have rare earth. And the world is knocking on our doors right now. They are knocking on our doors for all these minerals, for all these criminal minerals. All right. So this is the question that really I want to put to you. The question I want to put to you is when America or China or Europe, doesn't matter, European Union comes to Windhoek with a briefcase full of money. Okay. And this is exactly what we were talking about, earlier on in my interview with Kanjengo. So if America or China or European Union comes to Windhoek with a suitcase or briefcase full of money and a shiny deal, you know, for our lithium or our uranium or whatever, what should we do? And talking about now the new minerals that the potential minerals that we're discovering, what should we do? A briefcase full of billions, eh? And they said, here's the deal, man. Here's the deal. What should we do? Should we follow the DRC example? Should we sign the best deal we can get for Namibia? Eh? Should we sign for the best deal that we get for our country, focusing on our national interest? Or should we follow South Africa's call and say, hey, okay, put your suitcase, put your briefcase away, you know, let me first call my colleagues in Botswana. Let me first call my colleague in Zambia and Angola. Let's agree on a continental strategy first. Yeah? So should be that the case. Okay.
A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, Mike, I started to come back, but I think we're having another topic.
Yeah, it's just an additional to what we were talking earlier. Yeah, so, but yeah. You're welcome when you come to come back. Yeah.
Yeah, for me, I'm so, so, short-term target,
yeah,
I think it's okay. But in the long run, no, it will be not a good deal.
Yeah, no, this because this is very dangerous. At the moment, ne, there's something that I see. We are where we are really pressed by issues. Well, Kanjango is saying, well, you know, development is not, it's not in a hurry. It's not something that you hurry about, you know? So, So
because
you
we
come
are kind
with
of
a,
like
you,
we want to catch up.
Yeah.
With what is happening in America.
Yeah.
But yet,
no, actually, not really just catching up with what is happening in America. It's actually we are almost in trouble. You know, we're trying to put off the fire. You know.
No. We are not really in trouble. I think.
No. I'm just giving okay. Let me give an example. The example I'm giving is like the example of what happened in Madagascar. Is it Madagascar? It's Madagascar. Where the youth, there's high unemployment, youth actually started protesting in terms of water and electricity bills and things like that. And then what it turns out, it's an out of throwing out the government. You understand? I'm talking about that in terms of pressing issues in our country, we are really, we are in a terrible space from our own people. Anytime we could have actually people, you know, we have little fire that we're putting out. We have a qualified teacher here demonstrating. We put that down. We have employees of certain company demonstrating. We put that down. But you can see that the fire, little sparks are coming up here and there. You can see that.
That's why we have the fishermen. Then we have also the what? Kufut group.
Yeah.
And again, we have exile people.
Exactly.
The kid and the exile adult.
Yeah.
Now.
Attention all the students. The International University of Management is thrilled to announce that late applications for the academic year 2026 are now open and closing on the 20th of February, 2026. Whether your passion lies in environmental management and sustainability sciences, health sciences, ICT, business and strategic management, or in education, we have the perfect program waiting for you. And to our future leaders and changemakers, you are not left out. Boost your career with our postgraduate programs or advance your journey through the Graduate School of Business. Study full-time, part-time, or via distance learning. The choice is yours. Your future, your way. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. That's 061-433-6000. IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
So, welcome back. So, yeah, these are the fires that we're putting off. With what we're trying to address now in short term, and then ignoring, you know, the long term, you know, yeah. So which will catch up with you still, you know, it will still gonna catch up with you. Eh?
Yeah, but for us, I think we've been relaxing for so long because up to now we never dealt with any kind of problem which we are facing.
Yeah.
Every problem which we start with, we're still having it. We didn't even finish one. Okay, I can say maybe about the road. That's obvious. Our country, they done it. Yes. Because you remember, the politician, they need to travel around.
But there are other things that also, maybe the thing that contributed to that, it's also you have to thank SWAPO. In terms of when they are during the struggle during the war, they didn't really destroy the infrastructure. They didn't destroy the road network. Yeah. So there wasn't really much that we have done to the road infrastructure. You know, because the road infrastructure has been always there. Yeah. Yeah. We improve it. We add some. Yeah. But So. It's the same thing with the hospitals. For example, we didn't do much. There's only maybe a clinic there and whatever, but there have been.
Even we let it to maintain it. Yeah. It's falling down.
You see?
Down in the front every day.
Yeah.
The thing is that that's why we have even a stadium like Independence. It used to be hosting the World International match. Now it's no more because we cannot maintain it. But we want to be the new one. I don't know how, if the new one we are going to maintain it. Same name is the same.
I think, you know what, the one thing is this, name. You know, one thing is this. You know, when, if I never really have any in my life, in my account, I never have even a 2,000 in my account. Mm. And then all of a sudden you gave me, you know, 10 million, you know, let's just give it, make it more, you know, I think I have so much money. Yeah, I'm thinking I have really much money. And I think we were at the point where we really wasted. We had money, but we wasted it. Absolutely wasted, you know?
We wasted, but for me, let me say they're starting the with our founding father, rest in peace.
Yeah.
It was money, it was working.
Yeah, no, there was a purpose there.
Yeah, money, it was working.
Yeah.
Come to the second president, to the Fed. Yo. The country start going down. This is where we start messing up because maybe we start with looking at the fancy things. Like, if we don't have oxygen, we will not breathe nice in the office.
Yeah, it's the same thing.
All that kind of thing. Yeah.
It's the same thing I was even saying yesterday. That during the founding president, we put people qualified, any minister, the ministers and the people, they were not direct, what do they used to call them? They were not actually executive directors. They were, what is the name that were given, to the people who run the ministries? Permanent secretaries.
yeah.
So they were permanent secretaries. Yeah. So the people who were actually put in, who were running those ministries, you know, the Libertina Madiras, they were doctors in health, talking about, you know, the education, the Nahas Angulas, when it comes to education, the Gengob administrative, you know, they were, you understand, they have the skill in what they were managing. And for some reasons, 20 years later, we abandoned that and we put anyone anywhere and we reshuffle whether they have experience or knowledge or qualification. It doesn't matter. Huh?
Not really, but you know, the thing is that you can more mentor the person. But the problem also that when you're having a leadership, people are not reporting to it every day.
Yeah.
It's where you create a vacuum of transparency. People are not going to be transparent because everybody's in his own, his own boss. And it's what happens the second term, the second president. Because people start, like, even you cannot even interview me. If I say no, it's no. But in the era of the late founding, my friend, you have to report what you did, how far is your ministry progressing.
Yeah.
It was working. Some of the, remember those people, some of them even, they don't have any qualification, but they did well during that era.
Yeah.
We are looking forward to the people who are coming out, they are educated now.
Even during the founding president, you cannot name one. Seriously, you can't tell. Okay, I'm not talking about being a doctor or something, a doctorate in the field, but everyone was actually put in the area, either their experience about, you know, people who have been, maybe let's say, for example, they have been diplomat, and then they're put in a foreign, you know, foreign affairs minister. I become a foreign affairs minister because they have been, you know, have been diplomats for, you know, for years, and they have an experience. So the Kalomos of this world and things like that. You understand?
Yeah.
So.
But today you can tell me how many diplomats are there to selling our country? we have a, let me give you an example. We have a UK ambassador. You see, and the UK football is all over the world. Did you see even them, they're taking any academic talented in Namibia.
Yeah.
Just to be experienced, even just a month camp.
Yeah.
It's not happening because they don't sell the candy. That's the problem. That's why we say, me, I don't have a problem what DRC is doing. Because DRC is in a mess. And for them,
yeah.
And then SADC, what is SADC doing?
Yeah.
We have SADC, and the DRC is a part of SADC. And now you want to complain about they are making a deal with America.
Yeah.
Who are you? Mm-hmm. Why didn't you come in up front before? That's what I'm saying. Sometimes we may blame DRC, but in short term, me, I don't have a problem with them. Yeah. And then now they are in a mess. Where even maybe if they struggle with the USA,
yeah,
they'll be able to make their what? I'm strong.
Exactly.
To deal with those guys.
Mm.
Yeah. So for me, I think South Africa really. And they are here also, the way they are doing to Namibia, if you go around.
Yeah.
I don't think that. No, they have to look at their big face.
I think that's going to be, as much as the African unity, and when we're talking about now the sovereignty, African sovereignty, when it comes to resources, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult.
We are divided.
Yeah, it's going to be
why
difficult.
That's why I'm telling you, the other country like in Sahara, those one I mentioned, Burkina Faso and Mali and Niger. That's why we say they have to bring their diplomatic to come and talk and negotiate, because they know they are losing a lot. From those countries.
Yeah.
But if we stand our ground, we can never stand our ground while we are having a up and down SADC.
Yeah.
SADC doesn't even the military school. There's no military.
Yeah, but the thing is this. The thing is also the European and the China know that I can deal with three or four countries, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can deal with one country. I can deal with, you know, and my deal is with that country. You know, dealing with the whole of Africa, that would be a challenge, you know.
It would be a challenge.
Yeah. So.
Because once we deal with our currency.
Yeah.
It would be hard for them to do to find it that the pound is over almost $20 or something in Namibian money.
Yeah.
If you are, let me say you are using South African land now, the whole SADC. Do you think that money is not going to have a value?
It's going to have a value. Yeah.
Obvious.
We never
think of it.
Yeah.
SADC is just a mess. That's why we have SACU. We are colonizing Namibia and Botswana.
Mm.
Yeah. That's why we are in the mess. We are not going anywhere because of Africa. They are holding us.
Yeah.
They put us in the corner.
Yeah.
And now you are just trying to do something. Now you are blaming them. But you've been there. You are never even approached them.
Hmm.
South Africa, they have everything when you go to South Africa, serious. You are talking about even the industry.
Yeah.
It's big.
Yeah.
But when come to SADC country, like where they are operating, like now we are in Kama in SACU, what we are benefiting out of it as a Namibian people?
Mm.
Nothing. It's a really sad story. Even that minister, I think he did well to defend his country.
Yeah, no, he's...
Yeah.
Somehow you look at the interest, your national interest first. You know, before you have to think of, and this is why I put this question sarcastically in terms of what do you do? We in Namibia now, if America or Europe or China come to Windhoek with a briefcase full of money, and they want to have a deal with you.
I will not look at the South Africa, what they are going to say.
So,
I will do what is important for my people. And that is what you are saying, Namibia first.
Yeah.
I will deal with that first, and then I know in the long run it will not be good. But for meantime, when my people are suffering, where we have that's why we are like in Namibia, everything have to be approved in South Africa. We have everything which we are doing in Namibia. And then now, you see what I'm saying, like that time I'm joking, I said, no, guys, what you are saying for us to go to fight in that Namibia is not the Southern West Africa.
Yeah.
If we are like a province of South Africa. Because everything, what we do is like, given what they are doing.
Yeah.
Cape Town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We cannot have our own agriculture guys.
Mm.
Huh? No, man. No. Anyway, I see the time is gone. Eh?
All right, man.
Maybe somebody will come and, yeah.
Yeah, great. Mm.
Okay.
Job.
All right. Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about. That's what we're talking about. So what do we do? Who is right? Is it the pragmatist who look after his own house? So like what Kanjengo was saying, or the visionary who wants to build a strong neighborhood? So now, can we really trust each other, you know, enough? Can we trust each other enough to form a united front? I don't know, you know. Or will the promise of a quick, now when somebody, you know, come with a briefcase full of money, will a promise of a quick good deal for our own country always be too tempting to resist? So that's a challenge. These are not easy questions. There's no simple right or wrong answers, because there are the complexes. They are very complex. So it's not easy to. So, yeah, what we can take away from this spat that's happening between DRC and South Africa. First, it's clear that Africa is at the crossroad. The competition for critical mineral is only going to intensify. It's not going to get easy. It's going to intensify. And African countries must decide how to navigate the balance between acting in their national interest and maintaining a continental unity. So the DRC deal with the US, highlight the complexity of this issue. So natural survival versus collective growth. Natural survival versus the collective growth. Would that be possible? So, and in the end, the key question remains, can Africa unite to defend its mineral wealth and negotiate better deals on the global stage? Can we do it on the global stage? Or will individual nations continue to make deals that ultimately, in the end, it weaken the continent as a whole? That's the big debate, people. That's the big debate. What do you think? So I let you to discuss that wherever you find yourself, in your office, at home. Yeah, that's what we have to do. So, well, and that's actually bring us to the end of this episode. So as we can see, there is really a tensions. The story that we looked at, tension between South Africa's Gwende Mantashe clashed with the DRC Lois, Kambamba over DRC critical minerals deal with the US. And we also look at the national interest versus continental solidarity. So the DRC defend its deals as a beneficial for its stability, while Mantashe argues for a collective Africa approach to resources. Now, the big picture is the spat highlight deeper concerns, you know, about Africa's ability to maintain control over its mineral wealth in the face of rising global competition. So, what do you think, Namibia? Those are issues that we can discuss on social media. Check our social media, check our social platforms, and join the conversations. So that's all what we have for you today on this Wednesday morning. Let me leave you in a beautiful hand, capable hand of Mparangaja, who is coming with Kuthamosha. Tate France, over to you. From me, Michael Chavelli. It's a goodbye until tomorrow.